In this King's Birthday weekend, many Australians pause to reflect on service, leadership, and the responsibilities that come with privilege and authority. Honours are bestowed upon those whose lives have contributed to common good. While such recognition is valuable, today's scripture invites us to consider a different kind of calling, one that comes not from earthly institutions, but from God Himself. The readings before us are filled with people who did not earn God's favor, did not possess special qualifications, and did not appear obvious candidates for greatness. Yet God called them, and through their faithful response, transformed not only their own lives, but the lives of countless others. We begin with Abram in Genesis. God speaks into the ordinary circumstances of his life. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. What is remarkable is that God gives Abram very few details. There is no map, no timeline, no guarantee of comfort or security. There is only a promise. I will make of you a great nation, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abram's response is one of the most profound acts of faith in Scripture. He simply goes. Faith often begins exactly there, not with certainty, but with trust. Not with seeing the whole road ahead, but with taking the next faithful step. Many of us would prefer God to provide detailed instructions. We want clarity before commitment. Yet God's call frequently comes as it did to Abram, an invitation to trust before understanding. The psalm today celebrates this reality. Happy is a nation whose God is a Lord. The psalmist reminds us that our ultimate security does not rest in power, wealth, military strength, or political leadership. Rather, blessed are those who place their hope in God, That message resonates especially during a weekend that reflects on national life. Good leaders are gifts. Wise government matters. Yet Scripture consistently teaches that no earthly rulers, wherever capable, can be the source of our deepest hope. Paul develops this theme in Romans, reflecting on Abram, now it's Abraham. He explains that God's promises are not secured through human achievement, but through faith. Abraham receives the promise when every visible sign seems to contradict it. He and Sarah are old. Their bodies appear incapable of producing the descendants God has promised. Yet Paul writes that Abraham hoped against hope. He looked honestly at reality, but refused to let circumstances define God's possibilities. This is not naive optimism. It is not pretending difficulties do not exist. Rather, It is confidence that God's power is greater than human limitations. Many of us know situations where hope seems unreasonable. We pray for reconciliation, where our relationships appear broken beyond repair. We pray for the healing, where our illness seems overwhelming. We pray for peace in a world marked by conflict and division. Like Abraham, we are invited to believe that God continues to work even when evidence appears scarce. The gospel provides another example of surprising grace. Jesus calls Matthew a tax collector. We hear this story so often that we may miss how shocking it would have sounded to Jesus' first listeners. Tax collectors were not merely unpopular, they were regarded as collaborators, exploiters, and sinners. If anyone appeared unworthy of religious calling, it was Matthew. Yet Jesus walks up to him and said simply, "Follow me." And Matthew rises and follows. Notice what Jesus does not say. He does not demand that Matthew first prove his worthiness. He does not require a period of probation. He does not ask him to clean up his life before becoming a disciple. Grace comes first. Transformation follows. Later, when the religious leaders complain that Jesus eats with tax collectors and sinners, Jesus responds with words that remain central to Christian faith. "I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners." The church exists not as a museum of saints, but as a community of people being healed by God's mercy, like me. This theme continues in the second part of today's gospel. A leader approaches Jesus seeking help for his daughter. Along the way, a woman suffering for 12 years reaches out in faith and touches Jesus' cloak. Both are desperate. Both are vulnerable. Both discover that Jesus' compassion is greater than their suffering. The woman receives healing. The girl is restored to life. In both cases, Jesus sees people whom others overlook. He restores dignity where there is a shame, hope where it is despair, and life where there is appears to be only death. These stories reveal the heart of God. The God who called Abram from uncertainty. The God who sustained Abraham's faith against all odds. The God who called Matthew despite his failures. The God who healed the suffering woman and raised the dying child. This same God continues to call, heal, and transform today. On this King's Birthday weekend, we rightly honor lives marked by service. Yet today's reading reminds us that every Christian receives a royal calling. Through Christ, we are invited to participate in God's work of blessing the world. Like Abraham, we are called to trust, like Matthew, we are called to follow. Like the woman in the crowd, we are called to reach out in faith. And like those whom Jesus healed, we are called to become living witnesses to God's mercy. May we have the courage to step forward when God calls, the faith to trust when the path is unclean, and the humility to remember that all we are and all we have comes from the grace of God, whose promises never fail. The Lord be with you.